Open your Bibles, first of all, to Matthew chapter 11. And I want to read you that 22nd verse. I'm sorry, it's Matthew 10 and verse 22. Our Lord had been talking about these disciples being sent as sheep in the midst of wolves. And of all the things that would happen to them, of all the things they would face. And then in verse 22, he says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Then he makes this statement, "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now that is a wonderful promise. But yet at times it makes me a bit anxious. Because I find myself sometimes in the realization of my sins, in the recognition of my sinfulness, my unfaithfulness, my coldness, my trials, and many other times asking myself, will I endure? If I look at the evidence in my heart and mind at times, if I look at my situations all around me, it doesn't appear that there's any way that I can endure. And I know he that endures to the end shall be saved. If you would turn back over with me to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And in this psalm, we read about David as being a type of Christ, the Lord's chosen, Jehovah's servant, the Messiah. He's God's anointed king. And God has pledged to Christ as he did to David in a higher spiritual and eternal sense. And he has established his throne. Look down in verse 3. "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant." He set up David as his earthly king, and he established his throne, and he made with him a covenant, all picturing Christ, God's King, and that everlasting covenant. "Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations." I'll build up your throne, establish your throne, which is a throne of sovereignty and also a throne of grace. I'll establish your throne. And in verse 14, he says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. It's a throne of justice. And because of justice, the Lord has pledged some things to Christ and his people. He says, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. And then in verse 19, he has this to say. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him, and I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in thy name, my name, shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. He says, I will exalt and establish his throne. It'll be characterized by sovereignty, power, grace, mercy, truth, and justice. They will all be in harmony with each other, and it will be as I have promised him in his covenant. But as he pledges his faithfulness to his king, as he establishes his throne, associated to this pledge and to this promise to his son is a promise to his people. Christ here is said to have a seed. Look in verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. In other words, this promise concerning Christ is so tied to a promise with his people and made to his people that just as sure as the Lord's throne and his sovereign reign will endure forever, he'll be Lord and King forever, just as sure as that, his seed will endure forever. Look down at verse 36 or verse 35. He said, I will not alter my covenant. I will not alter the words of my lips. I've sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. In other words, the seed of David, here picturing the seed of Christ, are as sure and as safe and as saved just in Christ by this pledge and promise of God, and they will endure just as sure as his throne will endure. Now, oftentimes in the scriptures, we find various things representing Christ. We know he's the Son of God. But at the same time, he's called in Isaiah 9 and 6, the everlasting Father. Do you remember what we read on Sunday in Hebrews 2? Where he speaks of those children that the Father hath given him. He has a seed. And 1 Timothy says that if any provide not for his own house, now this is the command and the rule of God concerning the head of the house or the father of the house. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So you can be sure that these children of Christ, the children of whom he's the everlasting Father, his seed, which are spoken of several times in this psalm, they will, every one of them, endure. Because this endurance is exactly the same thing as perseverance in the biblical sense. And that means that they will persevere because he will preserve them. The Bible knows of no self-perseverance, but all of God's people will persevere in the faith. They'll persevere to the end. They'll endure to the end and show themselves saved because he will preserve them. Because of God's mercy to them in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll endure to the end, and therefore show that they have been saved by grace, that Christ has shed his blood for them, that they're the seed of him, they have the life of Christ because they are in Christ. And what we find is that the scriptures tell us lots of things about these seed. It tells us all that they were by nature in themselves as depraved sinners. They're the children or the seed of God, the seed of Christ. They're the children of God, but they were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It tells us how they came to be his children. He chose them, and he elected them in that election of grace. He chose them to salvation, and they are his by creation, and they are His by selection. And it tells that it was for them that Christ came and died. He laid down His life for the sheep. It tells us that God calls them, everyone, to Christ. He gives them the gift of faith, and by His Spirit, He calls them effectually and mightily, and they come to Him. Every one of them. But what I want us to notice tonight is the fact that if they are the true seed of Christ, no matter how they feel on any given occasion, they will endure to the end. That's just a fact. That's just a statement plainly made by God here in these verses. His seed, that is, the seed of Christ, His seed shall endure forever. Forever. They will all persevere. They will. But they will persevere because He will preserve them, because it is not dependent on anything in them or done by them, nor is it contingent upon their faithfulness, but upon His faithfulness. His faithfulness, His word. And they shall endure, every one of them. First of all, because He's decreed it. He's predestined it. He's determined it. You prayed in your prayer, who can stay His hand and say unto Him, what doest thou? It's His will that they endure. When you notice all these verses in this chapter regarding His seed, He uses that word of emphasis and positivity, shall. They shall endure. He's decreed it. He's determined that it be so. And also, they endure, they will endure because He endures forever. That's the link here. That's the way they are viewed in the sight of God. That's the way they are in this covenant and in every promises. They're joined together inseparably in this union of grace with Christ. If He endures, they're going to endure. They're going to endure because He never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not going to be fickle with them. He's not going to cast them out at the least little thing. He's not going to cast them out because of their sins, which He's already borne in His own body on the tree. He's not going to alter in this covenant pledge. They're going to endure. And they're going to endure because of God's unchanging mercy to them, that mercy being in Christ. Look over at Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. I need to hear that almost every moment. Look at 107, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. It's not temporary mercy to us. It's not mercy that'll last 1,000 years. It's mercy that endures forever. And that's how His people endure. They'll endure because of His mercy. Psalm 136 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His good, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Almost every verse, not merciful one day and not the next, but every day. I know some days it's hard to imagine that the Lord is being merciful to us. When you're in the deep trial, when you're in great affliction, to believe God, that's our comfort, to believe God, what He says, that He cannot change, that His mercy endureth forever. And they will endure because His word and His promises to them, they will endure forever. You can go back tomorrow and read this chapter. It's going to say the same thing. 10 years from now, it's going to say the same thing. Every promise, the Scripture says, all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. They'll all be sure. They may change translation, but the promises won't change. They're all based upon Christ's word, Christ's person, Christ's honor, Christ's pledge, everything, His very throne. Peter said, But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's why I want to hear the gospel again and again and again. I know my weakness, some of it. I know my failures, some of them. I know enough of them to weigh me down and to cause me to doubt and fill me with unbelief and all. I need to hear what God says about His mercy and His enduring forever and all His people enduring in Him because of His work. And they'll endure because of Christ's work, because it's an accomplished work of righteousness. His work for them assures their endurance. His work for them is their endurance, guarantees their endurance. The psalmist, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. What is he saying, that righteous judgment, to those that believe? You're not condemned. He's not going to come along 100 years down the road and say, Whoops, I forgot this sin. Whoops, I made this mistake. I counted you something you weren't. You see, that's why it is so good and why the Lord did it like this. He used legal language such as justification. He used language that makes us to know that His courts are true, His justice is true. And when He pays for somebody's sin through the death of Christ, there will not be double jeopardy. They're going to endure because the price has been eternally paid, because their soul has been eternally ransomed. because they've been bought with a precious price, such as the blood of Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What's he going to do? He's going to see his seed. He's not going to see them in a bad way. He's not going to be seeing on them to make sure they don't slip up or something like that. He's going to see them as his seed, as his children, as his blood-bought children, every one of them. He's going to see them in glory because they're all going to be there. No missing seats. And they will endure because they'll hold fast because they're held in his hand. Look over at John 10 a minute. Now we read these things and without even realizing who it is saying them and without even realizing who he's speaking of. But in John 10, it says this in verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." That's sure. They didn't earn it. They couldn't merit it. They don't deserve it. But I, as this sovereign king on the throne ever established, I gave it to them. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And some fool says, but they may jump out. If you think that, number one, you don't know anything about the hand of Christ. And you don't know anything about the blessing of his salvation. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Father is God the Savior, and the Son is God the Savior. And they'll endure because they'll be chastened, and they'll endure that chastisement because its design is not to destroy them, but to preserve them. They'll be chastened. Look down at verse 29 in Psalm 89 again. He says this, "His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with many stripes." You don't hear it much these days, but my parents gave me what they call a whipping. Might be a belt. It might be a sweet gum shrub. It might be off a fruit tree. That's what she called it, a little peach tree tea. But you just nettle your legs, do something to get your attention, to know, make you know your error and your wrong, and to see that you didn't do it again. He said, I'll chasten. Sometimes in those chastisements, you say, I'm surely not going to make it. No, that's why you will make it. He said, I'll visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with the stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. Forever. Paul, writing in Hebrews, said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. If you endure chastisement, the chastisement of God, God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And they shall endure because he will cause them to endure all their trials, all their persecutions, all their tribulations, all their disappointments. And the very word endure indicates that they'll have these things. They'll have to endure these things. Will they survive? I tell you, as I get older, and I approach what have been called the golden years, I'm not finding them so golden. More of the same and worse. Man born of woman is but few days and full of trouble. Sometimes I change that verse. Many days and all of them full of trouble. But he says here in our beginning text, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I've said it so many times now, I think I heard a guy write a song almost that like that. But I've said for so many years, trials and afflictions and troubles and all are like standing on the seashore at the beach. You don't have to wonder whether or not there's another wave coming. You just wonder how soon it'll be and how bad it'll be. But the real waves, the real billows, Christ said, they've already gone over my head. They've already washed him with that judgment for our sins. We'll endure. And they'll endure to the end because God will keep them believing. The devil will whisper in their ear like Job's wife was used to whisper in his, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Peter says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We're kept by the faith God gives us. We have believed, we are believing, and we shall believe because He keeps us believing. We sing that song sometime. Keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee. Keep us, Lord. Keep us enduring, trusting in Christ and Him crucified. You promise that we'll ever be with the Lord and we shall be like Him. His seed endure not only all these things, but they'll endure them forever. They'll continue in the faith. They'll continue in the Word. Somebody will say, "Well, preacher, are you saying once saved, always saved?" It all depends. Who did the saving? If it was a cooperative effort between you and Christ, no. But if Christ did all the saving, and your hope is only in Him, brother, it's a good hope, because His seed shall endure forever. If we were saved by Christ alone, saved by grace alone, we're safe and secure forever. Psalm 22 and verse 30 says, "A seed shall serve Him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." The Bible speaks of a generation that will be born, and then Christ will come. That's right. This generation. The seed of Christ. And when He saves that last one, He'll come as He's promised and reveal that all that He said is true. God, give us faith to believe it now and to trust Him alone and to rest in His promises. No matter what. Father, we thank You tonight for Your mercy to us and Your grace to us in Your Son, who has wrought this everlasting salvation and saved all His people from their sins. We rejoice to be counted among those people who have only hope in You, who ever plead Your blood and Your righteousness in the matter of our sin, and who've been given faith to believe such precious promises as these. We'll endure because Christ and His throne endures forever. We pray in His name. Amen.